The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
And this is Jonathan Healy filling in for Pat Kenny this morning, a sunny morning here in Cork at least. Hope it's good where you are. Mary Lou MacDonald, President of Sinn Féin, good morning.
A very good morning to you, and it is very sunny here in the capital as well, the real capital, Jonathan.
Well, now we won't fall out over it, Mary Lee. Not this early in the interview, anyway. It looks like the weather's good for a few days, which bodes well for the weekend when we might get out and see things. There's much I want to talk about, Mary Lou. I want to begin with data. Normally quite a boring topic of conversation, but relevant for your party this week in the news. Where is your data stored?
Well, data might be a boring conversation, but in an era of digitalisation and the holding of databases and so on, it's a very important one. And there's a very significant body of law which protects individuals and which lays down the rules and regulations around the gathering of data and the use of data. And the data in question around us is a document called the Electoral Register. Your listeners may be familiar with it because you register to vote, and when you register, your name and your address and so on feature in what is a very public document. It's a public document because part and parcel of any democratic election is, you know, transparency and oversight. So political parties like ours, Jonathan, have access to the Electoral Register, all of us, not just Sinn Féin. And the data that we have and the system that we have is really an old-fashioned canvassing system, but it's no longer now held with pen and paper. It's held electronically in a database. And therefore, we have to be, just like every other organisation, every other political party, we have to be careful as to observing privacy regulations and the use of the data. And it is purely political. It's for electoral purposes. And all of that is allowable under the law.
I've actually seen this for your party and other parties. Because when I used to be a reporter and I used to get out, I would have gone on the canvas. And I was always impressed at Sinn Féin's ability in particular to work out, you know, where the Sinn Féin voters were to call to their door. But when this moves online, it becomes kind of a different beast. And the question is about the ABU system. I mean, can you tell what is the ABU system? Is it different to the Electoral Register?
No. And I've just described to you exactly what it is. And thank you for your kind reflection on Sinn Féin activists and our ability to get on and off doors and run election campaigns. We've had great election campaigns.
It was genuinely impressive to see the information that was being kept.
They'd be delighted to hear that. But this isn't something that's unique to us. Every political party, every candidate who runs an election, canvasses the vote, has access to the Electoral Register, and it's part and parcel of the process. And the ABU system, as it's called in our case, I don't know what other political parties call theirs, is simply that it is the returns, if you like, from canvasses.
Can I go back to my
original
question?
We're no longer in the 1970s, so it's not pen and paper. It's now held
Bertie's on little
computers.
Pencils.
Sure.
Yeah. Where's the data stored? That was the question I asked you at the outset.
It's stored in the European Union, and it is all legally stored. I mean, there's nothing. I've seen this story in the media, and there's been quite a heavy emphasis put on it, and that's fine.
Is it stored in Serbia? Because that's the accusation.
It's not. It's not stored. And, you know, this business, this lark about Serbia arose from the fact that a person, a private individual who runs a legitimate and very successful business, a very enterprising young woman, and she happens to be married to a Serbian person.
Well, let's be careful not to throw too much mud around here if you're just trying to answer. Is it easier just to answer the question? It's not stored in Serbia, which is fine.
Not at all. No,
where in the European Union is it stored if it's not stored in Ireland?
Jonathan, I'm not. You asked me about Serbia. I've explained to you the Serbian connection, and I just think it's unfortunate that you know, because an individual happens to be married to somebody in Serbia, that that becomes a point of controversy. It's stored in the European Union. It had been stored in London, but obviously Brexit happened and that disrupted that. So it is legally held and stored within the EU as per the law.
OK, but what's the harm in telling us what European Union country it's stored in?
Oh, I have no problem in telling you. It's stored in Frankfurt.
In Germany?
Yes.
Okay. Why then and have we gone around the houses on it? if the answer is it's stored in Frankfurt, it's stored in Frankfurt.
Well, I suppose it's because in the first instance, I mean, I haven't really commented publicly on any of this until now. And the first reason for that is the story broke in the media. A particular spin was put on it, I think, to hype it up. I just want to repeat for the benefit of your listeners, this is canvas material. It's used for canvassing. It's used for electoral purposes, all of which is legal and part of the process and not unique to Sinn Féin. Mm. And on the back of the media, on the back of the media reports, the data commissioner wrote to us, not surprisingly, and asked us a range of questions, which we've answered very comprehensively. And we're engaging with them. And they are the statutory authority that keeps all of us right. Political parties, okay, other entities. And I think our first and our most important conversation is with them. That's the reason.
The electoral register tells you who's registered to vote. That's literally all it tells you. It doesn't tell you who's going to vote for Fine Gael. It doesn't tell you who's going to vote for Sinn Féin.
Yeah.
Does your ABU system contain information on people, whether they might be likely Sinn Féin voters or not Sinn Féin voters? Because that's where the line might have been crossed, that information has been kept on people without their consent about what their voting intention might be.
Well, firstly, that would not be crossing the line. Every political party, every political candidate uses the electoral register to know who votes, you know, who's registered to vote, and then to come and canvass your vote and to establish in their judgment the likelihood or otherwise of you voting for them. And that is called special category information and data. It's specifically referenced in the law and it is entirely legal. And interestingly, Jonathan, when the law was being drafted around all of this back in the day, there was a very extensive debate in the Oireachtas on that very point. And in fact, the Minister for Justice of the day was at pains to tell everyone that, in fact, tightening up the law and creating all the necessary protections would not impede normal canvassing and political parties and candidates of all parties and none, independent candidates, gathering legitimate electoral information. That process is as old as elections and democracy.
And if Jonathan
itself.
Healy decided today that he wanted to go, I hate using myself in the third person, apologies Mary Lou, but if I decided that I wanted to find out what information Sinn Féin might hold on me, and I don't know whether you do or not, nor do I particularly care, but could I contact you and ask you and you tell me what's there?
Well, of course you can. I mean, any individual for any organisation, you might get in contact with Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the Labour Party, others as well. Of course you can. Of course you can approach any organisation and ask if they have data. But the data concerned is the electoral register. There's nothing nefarious. There's nothing untoward here. We are a political party. We contest elections. Other political parties do that. As well, and we all have access to the same register, the same electoral register. It's a public document and it's part of the democratic process. And what's changed now from back in the day when, you know, others had huge, in my own constituency, I suppose back in the day, Bertie Ahern was the one with the biggest political machine, quote unquote, and all of their work would have been done on pen and paper, you know, establishing political opinion, canvassing votes. There's nothing new in this. But of course, the new element is that things are stored electronically and there is obviously a more advanced sense of
data protection. Are the other parties doing this, Mary Lou MacDonald? Obviously you have your database. Are other parties doing this that you're aware of?
And
why have you been singled out? Is it because, is this political at the end of the day?
I don't know. The story is, and by the way, people are entitled to write whatever political stories they wish are around us. But the truth is that all political parties use the register for canvassing. That's standard procedure.
Your party colleagues, Louise O'Reilly and Matt Carthy, didn't give me the answer that you gave me, which is that it's stored in Frankfurt. Could you have made this go away a lot sooner had you been more forthright in saying,
I had asked the entire team to respect the fact that we're engaging with the commissioner. Like, and I mean no disrespect to you or to your journalistic colleagues, but the person with the statutory role and authority in all of this is the data commissioner. They're the ones that keep all of us in check, all political parties, all organisations. And I was very concerned that we answer all of the questions fully, that we engage in whatever process with the data commissioner to satisfy them, that all is above board and being conformed to, which it is, before making expansive commentary. Okay. I just think that's the respectful thing to do, to be honest.
You've engaged with the DPC. Do you consider the matter closed?
Well, no, we've engaged with them, and these things are rarely closed overnight. They've asked a number of questions. We've answered them very comprehensively. They may have more questions, and the process will run as it runs. I'm satisfied that we are absolutely compliant. I can assure you, there is nothing untoward happening with the information that we get when we're out and about on our canvassing. We use it like every other political party to plan, to forward plan for elections and so on. It's a necessary part of our work. It's a very necessary part of our work because the next election, I believe, will be a crucial one. Elections decide who's in government and how Ireland looks and you know, whether or not we get decent housing and changes in healthcare and childcare and all of the critical things that people care about. So it's part of that wider democratic process.
And that is very important because it might help you make decisions on your policies, and every party uses that. I'm going to finish on this one because, Mary Lou, you've answered the questions, some might say, a little belatedly, but there is a text message here that I think a lot of people are asking. I'm just going to ask it simpliciter on behalf of the texter. Why is the information stored in Frankfurt, Germany? Why isn't it stored in Ireland?
Well, that's, I suppose, a technical question. I mean, it just to answer your querier, it doesn't really matter which jurisdiction it's held in, so long as it's held within the European Union.
You're an Irish political party, though. Surely it should be stored in Ireland.
We are indeed, and we would not be alone in making use of the services of people who are in Ireland, as per our friend who's married to the Serbian that I referred earlier to, and others who are outside of the jurisdiction. But the critical thing is people shouldn't imagine that this is sort of shipped off in a crate to another jurisdiction. It's held. The important thing is that it is electronically and technically held and stored safely. And more importantly, that the information that you have is for electoral purposes and only that. I happen to think that that's actually by far the more important issue, that the data isn't being used for other commercial or inappropriate purposes. And I want to stress to all of your listeners that in our case, it is not. It's used for electoral purposes, and that's entirely necessary and entirely within the law.
Northern Ireland's Minister for Health, Robin Swan, has been telling people in the Republic who might want to go north because they get a haircut there and not closer to home that they would be breaking the law in their own jurisdiction and they shouldn't travel. Do you agree?
He's right. I mean, things have moved apace north of the border. People in their 30s are getting vaccinated now. I know lots of us look on with perhaps a mixture of envy and some frustration at the fast pace in the north and the slower pace here. But as we're speaking now, there is a restriction still on us to stay within our counties. As difficult as all of this has been, I think it's important that we hold fast now for the next period. And I think it is therefore all the more important that we see a coherent plan now so that all of us know what the summer is going to look like. People need to know whether or not, when are going to get back to work. Kids and others need to know when they can get back training, when sporting events are on. Socially, what's the summer going to look like? How are people going to come out of what's been a very, very difficult period of isolation? So the ball now is in the government's court, not to kind of fly kites or to create speculation that might just fuel more frustration, but in a very clear-cut way to set out a very clear plan, because this has been a long road.
It has been, and we've all been on it together. Do you believe that we are moving at the right pace, that by listening to NPHET and not rushing things, it is the most appropriate thing to do right now? Do you listen to the likes of the rural TDs who have been advocating for a faster opening of wet pubs? The talk on the papers today, we might be able to go on sun holidays in August. All of this speculation arguably is quite damaging. What do you say to the pace of reopening in the 26 counties at this moment?
Yeah, I think the pace of reopening, we have to understand, is tied up very directly with the pace of the vaccination programme, with issues around testing, tracing, you know, all of the things, the staples that we have known we have to get right from the very beginning of this crisis, and things that we have repeatedly raised with government, because on each of those counts, they were slow off the mark, and there were moments when it was far too little, far too late, and we were playing catch up. So it is an issue of tying together our capacities to test, to trace, our capacities around isolation and quarantine, and also an efficient and effective rollout of the vaccine. And I have to say, the contrast north to south is quite marked. I mean, the and we're not out of the woods, by the way, entirely in the north either. Let me just say that. But the vaccination program has been efficient. It has been, you know, it has run, you know, really very, very smoothly when compared with the messing here, down here.
We didn't have supply. And once we've had supply, it would appear they've given it out as quick as they can.
Well, supply is one issue. The capacity to actually deliver is another. And I would say that supply issues aside, I think there has been a marked contrast in the efficiency in which different groups and cohorts could be identified north of the border, the quickness with which the vaccine could be got out. I mean, I didn't hear any stories from north of the border about GPs getting boxes of leaflets and instead of vaccines, or getting vaccines and no needles and so on. But I heard plenty of it here. So when you're making the comparison between the speed of reopening north of the border and south of the border, that's in large measure one of the reasons for the disparity. But we need to remember, I suppose, finally, that the ideal and necessary indeed situation is that we have a harmonisation across the island. We've talked about this a lot over the last year and more, because obviously people living in border communities, but beyond that too, people who travel for work and for family and so on, it's not helpful that you have a two-speed Ireland when it comes to the COVID crisis. So we need to get this right. We need to keep people safe. And above all else, you see, when we open up this time, we need to stay open. And that means that all of us as citizens need to do our bit. And I believe people have been incredibly disciplined and good humoured, considering everything that we've been through. But it also means that government needs to have its act together and needs to lead from the front. So what we need now is a plan, a coherent, deliverable plan.
You wrote to Queen Elizabeth II on the death of her husband, Prince Philip. Many people, I suppose, were surprised by that letter in many ways. What did you say?
I wrote to offer my sympathies and my condolences at a time, I'm sure, for that family that is incredibly difficult. I'm conscious that the Queen and her late husband had a very, very long marriage. And I could only imagine, after a lifetime together, that is a huge wrench on a very personal and a very private basis. I also wrote because I think it's important that we acknowledge and understand that the monarchy, the royal family, is a very important and a very sensitive issue for a section of people with whom we share this island. And I think it's important as a leader and as the leader of Sinn Féin that I register my understanding of that and my sensitivity to it.
Did you reference Lord Louis Mountbatten?
No.
In that letter?
No. The letter that I wrote was to pay my respects at a time of great sadness for that
Many
family.
People...
And I believe, by the way, in respect for the dead and for bereaved families. So I would make no exception in respect of this family at all.
I appreciate that. Why were you surprised at some people's reaction to your comments about regret of the death of Louis Mountbatten when it kind of was the line that Sinn Féin has used since the ceasefire, that all deaths were regretted, that people were seeing it as somehow you had singled out the family, where in reality, one would argue you hadn't changed the party policy at all. You had just reiterated something that had been said many times before. It wasn't specific to the family.
I don't see this as a matter of policy. I was asked a direct question about loss of life, and I am a Republican. Obviously, I'm a political leader, a political activist. I'm a human being. I'm a mother, and I understand the value of family and love and loss. And I think all of us, I hope, now at this juncture, more than 20 years into a process of peace building. I hope all of us are deeply saddened at the fact that so many tears were shed, so many hearts were broken, and so much blood was spilt. I'm saddened. I'm profoundly saddened about that. And I am profoundly determined that we are not going back to that place. And that is the bottom line for me. And people, I suppose, naturally enough, might weigh and analyse the words that you use. But I can assure you that for me, any level of suffering for any section of people is a matter not just of regret, but of sorrow and sadness for me.
And people have heard that. But I think what people were looking to hear, almost seeing in your words what you were saying, was that the IRA were wrong to have done that.
Look, can I tell you, Jonathan, the war is over. And you may say the IRA was wrong, the British Army was wrong, the UDA were wrong, loyalism was wrong, partition was wrong, colonialism is wrong. The whole damn thing was wrong from start to finish. And I've said before, had I the hand that wrote Irish history, I would not have written this version of it. But it happened, the conflict happened, the war happened, and there is nothing to be gained, in my view, at this stage of re-fighting old battles. The facts are that people were hurt and people were harmed, but the bigger fact is we managed to make peace, and now we need to build that. And that primarily is the job of leaders to lead, and for all of us as full and equal citizens to participate enthusiastically and optimistically in that.
All right, Mary Lou MacDonald, President of Sinn Féin, thank you very much for your time this morning and speaking to us here on The Pat Kenny Show.